All right, tonight we've been studying in the book of Genesis. We're not going to spend a lot of time in Genesis tonight, but we're going to look at what the sin of Cain really was. You know, so many people miss the unpardonable sin. Jesus talked about it in the 8th chapter of John. And basically, the whole epistle of 1 John deals with it. And yet, most people think that the unpardonable sin is some sort of terrible wickedness. You know, murder, rape, things of this nature. But actually, the people that commit the unpardonable sin are what people call good people. They're steeped in the religious concepts. They think they're good, and they've rejected the blood of Jesus Christ, just like Cain did. They've rejected the blood of Jesus Christ for the works of their own hands. Now, when we analyze Cain, and we're going to read a little bit about him here before we go back to 1 John chapter 4. But we read about it here that both Cain and Abel made an offering unto the Lord. Now, when Adam and Eve were judged in the garden, God came to them after their sin, after he judged the serpent, and he promised in the judgment of the serpent that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. Well, a bruised heel is not fatal. A crushed head is. So then ultimately, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to cast the devil into the lake of fire. But in the process of bringing redemption to man, God determined from all eternity, because God is omniscient, he determined from all eternity, he knew exactly what would happen. The original creation, the fall of Lucifer, the recreation, and the fall of Adam and Eve. Nothing of that happened was a surprise to God, because God is omniscient. That means he knows everything. And so he promised in the judgment of the serpent that the seed of the woman, and it's singular, see, the seed of the woman, so it's not talking about those that are going to be progenerated by Adam and Eve. It's talking about in the fullness of time, God promised that he would send forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. In Isaiah 7:14, he said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel. Now, the devil has made attempts in the Garden of Eden, and later on at the time of the flood, and with Cain, to corrupt the truth. And it's a constant battle. And the truth is, and this is missed by so many religious people, they're always talking about goodness. Well, it's better to be good than to be bad. Let's say that up front. But if you think that you can get to heaven by being good, you can't. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the scripture teaches very clearly, without the shedding of blood, and it has to be blood that is perfect, not tainted with sin. Well, all of mankind is tainted with sin because Adam is the progenitor of the human family. And Eve sinned first, and Adam sinned. So we're all born dead in trespasses and sin. So then, what is this sin that can be committed? Well, we see it in Cain and Abel, and It's hidden in mystery form here, but let me read the first five verses of Genesis 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man with the Lord's, with the Lord's help. Okay? So, and she again bare his brother, Abel. And there's lots of people that think that Abel was a twin. There's no way to prove one or the other. It's, she continued to bear. Look over at the fifth chapter of Genesis for just a moment. I'll read the first five verses. And this is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. So this is the original Adam's family. Okay. And so it says, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Now, think about it. Adam and Eve, we don't know how long they lived before they sinned, probably not very long. And then we have 130 years that elapsed. And because the Bible contains history, but it's not a complete history. The Bible contains science, but it's not complete science. It contains geography. Virtually every subject that you can think of is in the Bible in some form or other. But its primary purpose is the redemption of man. It's God's unfolding plan or drama of redemption. So then as we read here, it says, he produced, called his name Seth, and in the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he, Adam, begot sons and daughters. Okay? So Adam created, he had many children. And then we had the crazy question after Cain was driven away, and he went into the land of Nod, which means wandering. And he created a city. And if we go back and look at his genealogy in the fourth chapter of Genesis, there's only about eight people there. Well, eight people isn't exactly a city. But if you think about how many children could Adam and Eve produce from the time that they had fallen until the death of Abel, and then the birth of Seth, 130 years elapsed. So in 130 years, children have children, and so, the world was well populated, see, and Cain produced a city which he called, he called it Enoch after his son. And so let's go back now to the first part of the fourth chapter, and then we're going to go to 1 John. So she again bare his brother Abel in verse 2. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, those facts just tell what they did, but those facts have absolutely nothing to do, as man assumes, with the offerings that they made. Cain was a farmer, Abel was a shepherd. But God had already shown in clothing Adam and Eve with the skin of an innocent victim. They had, were ashamed after they had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They recognized that they were naked, and what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together. Well, at best, fig leaves are a tenuous cover. How long does it take a leaf to dry and crumble away? So then God, promised Adam the seed of the woman, and Adam believed the promise, and it was counted unto him for righteousness' sake. So then He proves that then when he clothed them in the skin of an innocent victim. Let's go back to the third chapter where it says in verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve. Now that means there's a couple of ways you can put it. She produces life, or the mother of life. Actually, Adam believed the promise of God that God was going to send a Savior. And that's why he called his wife Naomi. He didn't know the details, but it was shown to him in the fact that God clothed them in the skin of an innocent victim. And God couldn't get that skin without killing whatever the animal was. Probably a lamb. Okay, Scripture says of the Lord Jesus Christ, behold what? The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Okay, so that was revealed. So Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And Adam also, and unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coat. So, he professed his faith when he called her life giver, the seed of the woman. Okay? And how was Christ going to come into the world? Through the virgin birth, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. So Adam believed that promise. He didn't know the details, but he believed it. And there's, when we first trust the Lord as our Savior, we're about as ignorant as we can be, spiritually speaking. All we know is that the gospel was preached, we realized that we were sinners, and that Christ died for us. And God gives us the faith to believe that. And then from there on, Paul says, but grow, how? In grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it's something that continues. I was saved when I was 21. I'm now 87. So 66 years. And God laid upon my heart right from the get-go to get into the Word of God. And it was amazing, and I don't say this with any sense of bragging, because the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. But when you get into the Word of God, the Spirit of God is active. And and of course, God knew from before the foundation of the world that he was going to call me into the ministry. So he gave me a gift of discernment. And I was a young Christian. I was in the Air Force. We went to a little church where they kept communion every Sunday. And after a while, because of my study and because of the things that I was learning, I said, why do you take communion with a leavened loaf of bread? I understand the wine, but why do you use a leavened loaf of bread? So they'd stop by the bakery every Sunday morning and pick up an unsliced loaf of freshly baked bread. And they had a common cup, a small church. And so it had wine. I say, I understand the wine, but why the leavened bread? And they got upset with me. Now, apparently they got upset because they didn't have an answer. They just like the fact that it tastes good and it smelled good. There isn't anything that smells better than fresh baked bread, So, but they did it. And, they've really made it known. We don't care to have you come here anymore. So Joanne and I found another church to go to, and so that was part of my education too. But the bottom line is, we have to stick to the truth of the Word of God. God promised a Savior. There isn't, the Scripture is very clear. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So out of his jealousy for Abel, who believed God and made an animal sacrifice, Cain, you know, offered God a beautiful, I'm sure it was vegetables, flowers, whatever it was that he grew. I'm sure it was a beautiful display. But it didn't speak about redemption. Because without the shedding of blood, there's what? There's no redemption. So then God gave Cain the opportunity to believe. He said, if thou doest well, wilt thou not be accepted? But if thou doest not well, no. What chance was there, since there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, what chance was there for Cain to do well? You know, the natural man cannot satisfy God. We need a redeemer. The redeemer was promised in the seed of the woman. Abel believed it. Adam believed it. Eve believed it. The other children of Adam and Eve, because he formed a city, so many of his relatives were a part of that city. We have his genealogy, about 8 people. That's not enough for a city. But they followed after Cain, as it's known as the way of Cain. And what's the way of Cain? The way of Cain is Cain thought he could have a relationship with God based upon the life that he lives. You know, I can please God by what I do. Now, that's contrary to the truth of the Word of God, because over in the book of Hebrews it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now let's turn to the 4th chapter of 1 John. I'm going to spend quite a bit of time with this unpardonable sin because, quite frankly, and I don't mean this in any sense of boasting, but quite frankly, I've never heard anybody preach on the unpardonable sin outside of in this church that ever understood what the unpardonable sin is. Most people think it's terrible wickedness. But what can be more wicked or more of the devil than to believe the devil's lie and reject the grace of God and the love of God in Jesus Christ? You know, man thinks of wickedness as, you know, people that, you know, mass killings, things of that. Yeah, that's wicked. That's bad. But the people that commit those sins can still be saved. Yeah. But when you get down to where you substitute your goodness for Christ's blood, you're in trouble. Now look at 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit. In other words, there are counterfeit spirits in the world. Number one, the devil is a spirit. Okay? And at the time of the flood, and we'll see this when we get into the 6th chapter, there were certain angels that came down and cohabited with the daughters of men in an attempt to break the lineage between Adam and Christ and us, see, so that Christ could be our Savior. And so angels were individually created, and they cohabited with the daughters of men. Now, whether they were hybrids or not, or sterile, that is, the children that were produced is what I'm talking about. But God said, the end of all flesh is before me. And so he told Noah to build an ark. It took 120 years to put that ark together. And every board that went into that ark was a testimony to the truth of saving grace in Jesus Christ. And then when they put the animals in the ark, people get it wrong. There were 2 males and 2 females of each of the animals. And of the clean animals, there were 7 males and 7 females. You know, those are the animals that were used for sacrifice. And then when God put them in the ark, they entered the ark, and God closed the door. So Noah couldn't open the door. Now, if you would hear your people that you knew screaming, they didn't know what a flood was. You know, they mocked Noah all the time that he preached about it. But they're screaming as the waters rise and trying to get into that ark. And they can't get in now. The door's closed. And that's going to happen at a point in time when God judges the nations of the world at the great white throne judgment. You know, they've been trying to get into the ark by virtue of the lives that they live. Yeah. And that's what most of the churches preach. You know, now, don't misunderstand. Good behavior is always better than bad behavior. But none of us has a behavior that's acceptable to God. The only way we can please God is to believe God. That's what the book of Hebrews says. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So now let's look at what John tells us here. Beloved, believe not every spirit. That is, there's lots of counterfeit spirits, demons, the devil, so on and so forth, in the world. But try or test the spirits, whether they are of God, because why? Many false prophets are gone out into the world. So there's a lot of people out there preaching the lie of the devil. Far more people preaching the lie of the devil than preaching the truth of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And one of the reasons for it, as you can see just by the size of this church, you know, I mean, there's been times we've had quite a few people here, but by the time we get to where I think we were maybe going to have to push out a wall and add on an addition, you know, people would move away. And we minister to quite a few people around the world with our on-site website and people that we send CDs to. But at any given, you know, meeting, we can have a handful or we can have a building full, you know. But in the days in which we're living, our attendance has fallen off quite a bit. And it doesn't seem to be in a position to be replaced. And I really think that the coming of the Lord is very near. But how near, we don't know. But when you see just politically what's going on in this world, you know, out of their own greed and desire for power, we had a Democratic Congress that would not pass a bill for the benefit of people that have to be unemployed because of this coronavirus. Yeah. And Trump wanted a straightforward bill so we could deal with this. But they had to get money for the Kennedy Center. So those musicians, you know, and believe me, they make pretty good money. You know, so that we can have, you know, the endowment of the arts, things of this sort, special interest. And believe me, they get kickbacks. Okay, let's go on. There are many false prophets out in the world. And they just watch the evening news. You know, even in the natural realm, and you would think that the ban that Trump put on those that were coming from China, you know, in a short period of time after the first coronavirus showed up in Seattle, you know, first one, and Trump put a travel ban on. And they're calling him a dictator, everything under the sun. It's insanity, you know. And of course, now, big tech, Google, these guys that went to school were indoctrinated in socialism, yeah, and they've made a lot of money. But malaria treatment, you know, I've forgotten the name of it now, but that treatment for malaria has proved to be very, very successful. And big tech, like Google, are telling people that it doesn't work. Yeah. Now, when your political interests get to the point where you don't care about your neighbors, your friends, and so forth, you know, and we've got something that, you know, there was one man that was dying. They gave it to him. He'd already told his family goodbye. And almost the next day after he got that malaria treatment, mixed with another drug, he immediately started to improve. You know, and Trump's been able to get around that. You know, so there's all kinds of wickedness in the world, but that kind of wickedness isn't the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin always is in the realm of religion. So let's go on. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Okay. Now, who caused all the Word of God to be written? The Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses, and the Greek word for confess is homologeo, it means to say the same thing as another. And in this case, the other is God. So every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So if by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, you agree with God about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, his purpose for coming, that he's God, that he lived his life in fulfillment of the law, and he died a substitutionary sacrifice for sin, you're of God. But if you deny any aspect of that, you're not. So hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not or denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now, let's go to the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. And we'll see a blatant denial here. And remember, when we're dealing with this in John chapter 8, we're dealing with religious people. We're dealing with people that would be called the pillars of the community, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. These men were religious professionals, okay? Let me find my spot here. Okay, it says, Jesus said, verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man. Well, he's talking about his crucifixion. Okay? Then shall you know that I am he. Yeah. Saying I am he is saying I am the Christ. Okay? And that I do nothing of myself. In other words, Christ came to fulfill the will of the Father. His will is in agreement with the Father. But he says it this way so that, we understand he didn't have a separate agenda. Okay? And he says, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And that's what we endeavor to do, as the Spirit of God teaches us from the Word of God. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, so he's involved by the Spirit of God, for I do always those things that please him. So he operated according to the truth of the Word of God. Because he was God, he could fulfill every jot and tittle of the law and all righteousness. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Now, these people that believed on him, that means they had an idea he might be the Christ. This is not faith unto salvation. This is, what he has to say is pretty compelling, okay? And so then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. A mock profession doesn't prove anything. But if you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you continue in those things, that doesn't mean that genuine believers don't backslide and do things that they shouldn't do, but the Spirit of God convicts them, and we can, they won't deny the person or the work of Christ. I can remember when Aaron was working for International Paper Company, and in Sawmill, Vaughn, and there was a Pentecostal there, and he was full of self-righteousness. And he kept telling Aaron he was going to go to hell. And Aaron said, "You say that one more time, I'm going to punch your lights out." Self-righteousness attacks the truth. It expects us to be holy. It expects us to be righteous. It expects us to be just. But the scripture says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So we can't show forth any sort of perfection except that when we preach and teach according to the truth of the Word of God. So he said, "Then said those, Jesus to those Jews," verse 31, "which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? It'll make you free." And each one of us that were dead in trespasses and sin, at some point in time when the gospel was preached to us, the Spirit of God quickened it to our hearts, gave us the faith to believe it, and we were what? We were made free. Did that mean that we didn't sin anymore? No, we should say that we have no sin. We deceive ourselves, and the truth's not in us. So becoming a Christian doesn't mean you become this wonderful person that never does anything wrong, because that's contrary to the truth of the Word of God. We will have a sin nature until we're resurrected. See? Now, when we die, our body goes into the grave, and our spirit is translated into heaven to a body which the Lord went to prepare for us, and there we'll enjoy sinlessness. But we'll wait the day of the resurrection when we'll be reunited with our body. And the scripture says that when we see him, we shall be like him. Well, Jesus was about 33 years of age when he was crucified. And I take it literally that he's saying to us, we're probably going to be at the prime of life. But we won't have any blood in our bodies because the life of the flesh is in the blood. We lose our blood in the resurrection. We enter a glorified body, which is sustained by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was sprinkled on the mercy seat. And they answered him and said, "We be Abraham's seed." Now we see where they really stand. They weren't trusting. They gave a little bit of lip service to faith in Christ, but their real trust was in their birth. We're Abraham's seed. Well, they were the natural seed of Abraham, but they certainly weren't the spiritual seed of Abraham. And so he goes on to say, "And we were never in bondage to any man." You mean to tell me you've lived a sinless life and never done anything wrong? And with respect to bondage, they were in bondage to the Assyrians. They were in bondage to the Babylonians. They were, we forgot the Egyptians. Go back, they spent several hundred years in Egypt. From the time of the promise to Abraham until they were delivered was 430 years. But they were actually only in Egypt a couple hundred years. They were in bondage to the Egyptians, in bondage to the Assyrians, in bondage to the Babylonians, in bondage to the Persians, in bondage to the Greeks, and in bondage to Rome, and in bondage to sin. So he goes on to say, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Now, you're going to be a cockeyed idiot if you don't recognize your own sins. Cockeyed, that means that one eye crossed. And they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed." I read that, verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth," in other words, commit was again, homiletical, whoever makes the sin, Adam's sin, a source of life, is the servant of the sin. And what is the sin? Man's morality. A way which seemeth right unto a man. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but what? The end thereof are the ways of death. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free how? Indeed. Now, I'm not sinless, you're not sinless, but our hope is in Jesus Christ, and our hope is in the resurrection. You know, and he promised it, and he can't lie. And then he goes on to say, I know ye are Abraham's seed, that is, you're the posterity of Abraham. I don't deny that. You know, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. What is the sustenance for each one of us as believers in Jesus Christ? It's the word of God. You know, that's where our hope is. If it's in our lives, you know, you may as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. But if it's in the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, that he made it one sacrifice for sin forever, then you have eternal life and you shall never perish. And then they go on to say, Jesus said, I speak that in verse 38, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Now remember that statement, because we're going to see who their Father is down in verse 44. Okay? And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children. Now Abraham has both a natural seed and a spiritual seed. And they were portrayed in Ishmael and portrayed in Isaac. You know, and Isaac was a type of Christ. So that was portrayed to them. But they never saw the truth of it. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. He believed God and it was counted on them for righteousness. And now you seek, and I'll get it out here. And now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham believed God. Our Lord Jesus Christ always spoke the truth of the word of God, rightly divided. But they rejected what he had to say. They had their tradition. Their hope was in their posterity and the lives that they lived. And we'll see what that brought to this particular bunch of Jews. He says, ye do the deeds of your father, then said they to him. Now remember, we're coming up on, We had Christmas, that's supposed to be the birth of Christ. Actually, Christ was born in the spring, and we're coming up on the Passover. The church likes to call it Easter after a pagan goddess. Yeah. And it shows the corruption there. Yeah. We're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead by the goddess of spring. You know, isn't it wonderful? The flowers are blooming. It's so pretty. You know, here in the Willamette Valley, here comes the allergies. Okay, so he said, but now you seek to kill me, verse 40. A man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. These religious Jews, and remember how Jesus denounced them in the 23rd chapter of Matthew. Ye do the deeds of your father, and they said unto him, we be not fornication. So they denied the virgin birth of Christ and believed that Joseph was his father and Mary was found pregnant during the year of engagement prior to marriage. And so the Jews were convinced that he was a bastard. Okay. And they didn't recognize Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name what? Emmanuel. Which means what? And if God with us. Yeah. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father. Now we're getting down. We're dealing with religious people whose trust is in their genealogy and their works. They say, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came forth, or came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Oh, you hear the sound, but you don't understand what I'm saying. Yeah. And that happens to people every time we preach. If we have unsaved in the audience, I can be preaching the truth of the Word of God, and it's falling on deaf ears. Yeah. But unless the Spirit of God quickens it. Okay? And then he goes on to say, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my words? Verse 43. Now, what does he say their origin is? Ye are of your father, the devil. In other words, you're not children of God, you're children of the devil. Now, the way the church gets around that, they say everybody that's unsaved is a child of the devil. No. There are children of God, you know, and there are children of the devil, and children of this world system. And the children of this world system can make a decision one way or another and either become children of God or become children of the devil by rejecting the truth of the Word of God. So he says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. What was his lust? He desired to be God. What are people that are religious? You know, they think they're glorifying God by all kinds of antics, you know, and are puffed up in themselves, and they're trying to make themselves God by the lives that they live. And nobody can be like God by the life that we live. The only way we can satisfy God is faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. When he speaketh the lie, and it's really the lie, speaking of the devil, he speaketh of his own. He was the one that lied to Eve and said, oh, God that knew that in the day that you eat thereof, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Yeah. She was deceived and she ate and fell from the image of God. And then Adam, he also ate when she offered it to him because he knew that God would be gracious and provide a Savior. Okay. And so we have to be related to Adam. That plunges us into sin. And we're made alive in Jesus Christ by the preaching of the Word of God and the quickening power of the Spirit of God. And because I tell you the truth, and think about this, I know every single one of you have had some opportunity at some point in time to witness the truth to somebody, you know, and how do they respond to it? Yeah. They're always looking at your life. Well, I saw you drink a beer, or I saw you, you know, do this or do that. It's always based upon some sense of holiness, which is anything but perfection. But in order to be accepted of God, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is what? Perfect. And the only way we can be perfect is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay, we're going to deal much more with this unpardonable sin because it is, when I was in Bible college, I heard the most ridiculous explanations for this sin, and nobody ever got it right. And that's sad. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your wonderful love to us and for your goodness and grace to us, and we pray that you'll bless the truth of the Word of God to our hearts and minds, and that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of thee. And we praise you that we have salvation, not because of anything that we've done, but because Jesus Christ is in our state of life and in death and shed his blood for us, and because he lives, we shall live also. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.